This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the rainy District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big ear blogger. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am doing well, brother. How you feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling weird, honestly.
I just saw weird, and now I'm in here. You feeling weird.
Well, Jeff talking about me in the shower to kick things off didn't necessarily help.
Well, he was in there saying,
how good I look.
I need to stretch.
No.
I don't know what you're drinking, B.
Stop that.
B, can you show Lanville the giant bottle of liquid you have?
It's airborne.
Lanville, what's that look like? Mountain Dew at best?
No, I pour some.
Looks like Gatorade or something.
I put two tablets of airborne in it.
Are you sick?
No, I'm drinking it so I don't get sick.
You got Halls working. You got Airborne working.
I like to do stuff before. I try to keep it away.
B's planning ahead.
Hell yeah.
I have an announcement. What's having that? Lanville's birthday party today. Lanville's birthday's on Thursday, right?
That is correct.
Also, my sister-in-law, Julia. Happy birthday,
Julia. Why are we doing it today?
We're going to be in Ashburn tomorrow.
Okay. We need to send Jeff downstairs to get something.
Drew's bringing in a whole party. Mobile Drew party.
Yeah, but Drew might not be bringing in with Lanville drinks.
But downstairs isn't open till 11. I've thought of everything.
Let me call Aisha.
Well, all right. Did we get Aisha
her to open up her store earlier?
But here's where I think I'm going nuts. So I was listening to podcasts all morning.
That's 24/7.
Okay, but this is a specific thing. I always listen to podcasts at like a time, like 1.5 speed, 1.75 speed. Mm-hmm. And Lanville just played Tribe Called Quest. We hear that song every morning. It sounded like it was going in slow motion. Like I just had some purple drink and everything was moving slow. Did it sound like that to anybody else?
No. Only people that listen to their podcast every morning at 1.5 is you.
Yeah, nah, that's insane, JP.
It sounded perfect to us.
It sounded slow.
That's psycho behavior, listening to that.
That's really, you need help.
Okay. Now, listen, maybe I do need help. That's a different debate. I think the vast majority of the podcast-consuming world listens at 1.5 or higher.
And I think psychos.
Vast majority are exactly psychos.
I think this is like the traffic circle roundabout thing. You guys are just wrong on this one. Jeff, I think you're
the only one here. We're right.
Does anybody listen to podcasts? Left hand up.
Yes.
What podcasts?
I listen to
UFOs.
Yeah.
I only listen to motivational things.
And everybody listens at regular speed.
I think at regular speed.
Of course.
Yeah.
You guys are nuts.
Because I'm not a crazy person.
And who talks that fast? That's like listening to somebody who auctions stuff off.
The way to consume more information. You consume more information.
No, that just gets you more confused.
I'm telling you. I think you guys got it wrong. Maybe I got it right.
Well, we know you got it wrong, Jay, because you are always confused and can't remember what needs to happen.
Speaking of getting it wrong, Chargers looked real good for about three quarters last night. And I was pretty impressed by the Ravens late in that game. They end up winning 30-23 on the road in L.A. And let's be real, Baltimore needed that win in a bad way to kind of keep track with Pittsburgh. And I think they may be in a tie for first place now for that division.
Yeah, because the horse was ready and victory came from the Lord. That's why the Steelers are not
that. Jameis is that dude. All right, so the Steelers are still ahead. They're ahead in the loss column. Steelers are 8-3. The Ravens are 8-4.
Okay.
I think the Ravens and the Commanders have that late last bye. Did you watch last night?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It was a fun game. You know, very, very interesting game. And then the ultimate thing down the stretch, Lamar, the pass to Bateman in the end zone.
Hell of a throw.
Hell of a throw, but hell of a catch. Hell of a concentration. Because he was being interfered with like hell, and for him still to be able to reach back and pull that thing in is unbelievable.
Who was my man number 7? Fulton? Was it Fulton on the Chargers? He had a rough day.
Yeah, he had pass interference.
And then gave up the touchdown.
One they should have called that was a touchdown.
Yeah. I thought Herbert was excellent in the first half. I think his receivers kind of let him down. The first-round pick, Johnston, that late drop he had on what would have been a first down. It's just a brutal drop. We've seen plenty of those here in Washington.
Yep.
I think Henry, I mean, is there a better dude to close out games? And you see Saquon.
Well, maybe Saquon.
you see Saquon go ballistic Sunday night. Yeah. Then you see Derrick Henry last night, 24 for 140.
But think about that. He was 24 for 140. Saquon was 26 for 255.
Yeah, I mean.
He had no touchdowns. Saquon had two.
Do you think, I was texting with somebody about this last night. Do you think the success of Henry and Saquon could possibly change opinions on signing veteran running backs? Or do you think those guys are kind of outliers,
well,
exceptions?
I think it should. I mean, Christian McCaffrey got paid years ago. I mean, about 3-4 years ago. You still got the kid up there in Jacobs. He can still play. That dude is a hell of a running back. So you got enough running back in the league.
Well, and they just signed him from the Raiders, too.
Yeah, but like if running backs keep performing at this level, you're going to have to believe. Let's be real. Every coach tells you what before a game? We got to run the ball and stop the run. But the league is telling you, oh, running backs are unimportant. But when you get to the playoffs, what do you say? We got to be able to run the football. We got to close games out. Can't close it out throwing the damn ball all day. Ask Kyle Shanahan about that. They were up 28-3 and lost the damn Super Bowl.
Sure.
So that stuff about them not being important, that was something that they made up in a room.
Well, I wonder also if there's some recalibration of how to finish out games, because the thought for a while has been just keep your foot on the gas and you got to throw to win. And maybe people will say, I mean, if you look at how the Ravens won that game, I feel like they leaned on the run more in the second half when they were down. And it was the Chargers that couldn't get their run.
The Ravens ran and threw. They were doing both things. They also have a running back who's unbelievable and a quarterback who's out this damn world. So their running game is different than most teams.
Right. When the Ravens scored the first touchdown of the second half and early in the fourth quarter, it was a 14-play, 80-yard drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of, and I think it was like a 7-minute drive.
Yeah.
They established Henry finally. L.A. did a really good job in the first half, I thought. They were really good. I thought you saw a well-coached team. I thought the D-line really showed up. They had some kids on that D-line I liked a lot. Big fellas. The kid Tart. How about that guy Tart with the feet he had for the size he had getting to the edge? I'm going to butcher this name. Tui Pulatu?
45, 46, 45. I watched him in a game earlier this year.
Is he a rookie?
He destroys guys.
That might have been their first round
pick. That kid could do everything, man.
Okay, yeah. He was a second rounder last year out of USC.
Good.
He's good, dude.
Yeah, he's good.
I said it at the beginning of the year. I got the Chargers at least in an AFC title game by next year. They might be ahead of pace. That is not – the AFC is so loaded because you got Mahomes, what the Ravens are, what the Bills are. The AFC is just loaded. The Steelers are still good. But the Chargers are a team nobody's going to want to see in January. I think their game will travel, too. I don't think they're dependent on good L.A. dome weather. I don't think they're quite there. I think if the Chargers were in the NFC, would they be the third best NFC team? I think Detroit and Philly have clearly separated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say is the third best team in the NFC, B? Everybody wants it to be San Fran. At some point, we got to give up on San Fran. It may just be Seattle. I mean, that would be the seeding right now.
To be honest with you, it may be Seattle. Like we could sit up here.
That would be
the
seeding right now.
Yeah,
we could keep
wanting San Fran to be what we want. San Fran got some injuries just like other teams do, and they are not anywhere close to what they were for the last 3 years. They got talent galore. But when you start getting people banged up, you start to find out, do you have depth? And they may not.
Do you think, I think we both agree Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. It's hard to come to any other conclusion, right?
Yeah.
But he listens to podcasts at 3x speed. That's a dude that pushes hard all the time. When you come up short in a Super Bowl, and then you've come up short in 2 out of 4 Super Bowls, right? Maybe 2 out of 5. Could that wear guys down?
It could. Because
I'm asking. I don't know.
I would say yes, because what happens is once you make it to the Super Bowl, you don't just have the thought of, like, if we make it to the playoffs, we are happy in this town. He can't make it to the playoffs and be happy. He has to go to a Super Bowl and probably win it to be have those people satisfied. They've gone to two. They've been in the NFC Championship games. They have to win something. So the stress level he's dealing with is way different than some of these other coaches.
Bro, what Mahomes has done to fan bases, organizations, you've got Lamar and Josh Allen are now firmly Karl Malone and Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just until you break through, you're in that category, man. And whether that's fair or not, it ain't up to me. That's just the way of the world. The universe does what it wants. Kyle Shanahan's approaching Marv Levy, Jerry Sloan,
mm-hmm.
like bridesmaid. And that weighs on you, dude.
It does. But like I've said before, you know.
Now, Andy Reid was that until he broke through.
When people show the capabilities of what they have, you don't lessen what you expect from them. You begin to expect more. So when you show up, I made it to the Super Bowl, making it no more matters. You got to win it now.
Yeah.
And that pressure, see, the thing about it, hell, you saw Baltimore. I mean, Buffalo went to four straight and lost all four of them. It's not hard to – it's not easy to win for Super Bowls. So just because he made it. Will he make it? Because what's going to happen eventually? It's always a little – they have a constant little turn going on. In 3 to 4 years, you don't get that thing done when you got a damn good team, injuries will start to pop up. Other things will start popping up. Other teams may come and be just as good as you. So they've had like a four-year window. Will that thing continue?
Well, and I say this with the absolute acknowledgement that this is not happening in Washington yet. Like, anywhere close to it, right? But every coach, no matter who it is, has kind of their mindset, their mentality, their attitude, their message, their impact on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, no matter who it is, unless you're like, eventually Tom Landry got fired. Eventually Bill Belichick got fired. Bobby Bowden got fired. Like, eventually your message wears out.
Well, like, you get a lot of jealous people.
Sure.
Tom was fired because he was bigger than damn Jerry.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, the legends of the world,
yeah.
Eventually it ends, right? I think it's premature to say that's happened. I think if you look at McVay in L.A., he had to completely reinvent himself. He said he, like, got pushed to the brink of quitting.
You know why? He got burned out.
Right.
That's why you got to get a balance. Stop listening to them thing at 1.5. Drop it to 1. I'm just saying, bro. Listen, everybody, you can say what you want. People talk about, I can indulge and get more information. You only have a certain amount of memory in that body.
It's true.
Who care what the hell you do. So get a balance, brother. Get a balance.
We're working on it.
I'll teach you that.
With the Commanders, we're, 24 hours removed from that loss. It's funny. I listened to multiple podcasts this morning, and the national perspective is what a terrible loss for Washington. And I think nationally, most people only paid attention to the last 7 minutes when things went bananas.
Yeah.
When there were just touchdowns galore.
Mm-hmm.
Are you now, with the benefit of a little time to pass, are you more concerned about just the various levels of stupid, especially special teams mistakes late in that game, or the offensive and defensive performances for the first 50 minutes of that game? What concerns you more?
What concerns me more is the fact that we didn't capitalize on a lot of stuff early. Because what happened at the end of the game, if they had kicked the field goal, they don't kick the ball to Turpin at all. If that, the extra point, I mean, if they had made that one.
Right.
I don't think the ball's kicked.
Because it's a tie game at that point?
Yeah, and then the onside would never have been.
Hell no.
Would it never have been kicked. You know, so that it's just like you have to understand that thing got out of hand because you had some circumstances that don't ordinarily happen. You know, the pass to Terry and him to go 86. How many times have you seen something like that? Not often. You know what I mean? So those things get out of whack. It's what got us into that situation where we had to go gung-ho. You know, we had to go out there and try some crazy stuff because we did not capitalize. And, you know, I listened to Revo talk. I listened to Terry talk. Actually saw, what's it called, yesterday?
Three turnovers.
Saw Quan yesterday. I didn't know Quan lived right, not far from my house. So I was sitting there talking to him. But the thing I'm starting see is that these guys understand when you have opportunity, you got to capitalize on it. Because you can't keep missing them and think, oh, we'll make it up. Listen, what Jaden has shown, he can do some things magnificent at the end of a game, come back. They have guys that can do that.
He doesn't quit.
But why have to do that? It's similar to what I would say about Ron. Everybody say, Ron, teams always started slow, but they finished strong. Well, you have to if you start slow. If you start fast, you don't put all that pressure on yourself. So I would say, why not capitalize early in games to where late in the game you don't have to have heroics? Because heroics come where you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity sometimes, and you don't get multiple once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. You know what I mean? That's why it's called once-in-a-lifetime. Like the Hail Mary. Magnificent play. You don't want to depend on that every week.
Dude, I'm with you. For me, the end of that game is so fluky, so weird. There was a block in the back on the Turpin run back.
Right, like, in front of the referee.
There's so much that happened there that you can look at that as its own entity. But the 50 minutes of football prior to that where the offense continued to be ineffective. At some point, dude, Quinn and Witt pound the table for turnovers. Ball is life, get takeaways. The defense did it, has been doing it, and the offense does nothing with it. My concerns aren't with Jaden. I am concerned about the interior pressure rates. I think defenses have realized.
I watch a play.
I think defenses are stacking the boxes and trying to get up the middle.
You know what that defense was doing? They had two people attacking Biadasz.
Yeah.
It's like when we double team.
A-gap stuff all
when
day.
When we double team on like a defensive lineman, they were doubling him, hitting him, bam, knock him off the ball, and then somebody else would come through a free hole because he couldn't get off of it.
Jeff heard you talk about gaps and holes. I think the defenses have clearly shifted to stacking the box and interior pressures. Dan Quinn doesn't want to hear about Cliff's struggles in Arizona, and I can understand that. That was a different team, different organization. I think it's possible we're making too much of that. Cliff needs a counterpunch. Whether that means you run that pistol with Sennett in there as a chipper on the interior. Like, defenses have come up with a new plan. You got to counter it.
Yeah.
It's time.
I'll tell you what a counter could be. Just come out straight off the sideline, go pace. You'll have them in a tizzy.
Sure. And I think you saw some of it with Jaden being really effective to the edges, but it almost seemed like Dallas was comfortable giving that up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I told the people at Hayfield, I told them, don't mess with Azra Nomani. I told you, she's a bulldog. She's going to get to the bottom of everything. Once I saw Azra was investigating Hayfield football, time was up, man. I knew where this thing was
now
headed.
Now she needed to go to this superintendent.
Yeah, we're going to ask. Azra Nomani joins us next. She broke the news last night. Hayfield is now out of the Virginia high school football playoffs. If you are unaware of this story, you got to stay tuned because it's all sorts of adults messing up things for children. Nobody go anywhere.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now's the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. And always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Azra Nomani joins us now. Once upon a time, Azra was a professor of mine at Georgetown University.
We need to know about that.
Your boy had had very different visions then of covering politics and all sorts of stuff and not blabbing about football for 4 hours a day. Azra, what's up? How are you? Thank you for making time for us.
Oh, my gosh. I am so honored. And, yes, I have actually revealed to the world your A assignment.
I just saw this.
I just posted it on Twitter, so there is no running from your incredible studious self.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to have to get you to come back on, Azra, and tell us about this young man that will come in your class. Because I know he's not – he's a little off-kilter today. I can imagine how he was then.
it was a different time, man.
Can you imagine? This was his beat. I love this. Militant groups in Pakistan.
Yeah. Now we're talking about football.
which you could call militant groups somewhere, right?
Sure. Well, it's funny because, I mean, you've spent a life doing real investigations. The Daniel Pearl Project we all worked on at Georgetown. All your work at the Wall Street Journal. Your professional byline profile is so significant, and yet we wanted you on because you just took down a con job for a high school football team. For folks that have missed this story, can you get us up to speed? And then we want to ask some questions kind of about what happens next.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's all the same, JP. You know this. Like, reporting is reporting. And there's a saying, all politics is local. So everything is about corruption, vested interests. Money, follow the money, and power.
Yeah.
And so you apply that to any story, and we all know sports has it in spades. But what happened in Fairfax County, Virginia, right across the border from the Potomac River, was that in early this year, great news emerged out of Hayfield Secondary School that they were going to hire Coach Daryl Overton from Prince William County, who had won two football championships. Well, you know, this was well received by many people, but what we just discovered this weekend that we reported at the Fairfax County Times, where I'm doing my exclusive work, is that the athletic director knew that Coach Overton was going to be bringing some transfers over, and the real smoking gun that led to a big headline yesterday is he acknowledged that they were going to use this federal law that protects homeless students and gives them the right to be able to register into any school without having any questions asked about address to basically enroll players that shouldn't otherwise have been given authorization. And so it's been a scandal that's rocked Northern Virginia, and some people call it the biggest football scandal, high school scandal of Virginia sports. But I think you guys know better than me the careers of the stars, and you know how much people invest from the earliest days. And I think the story has just reverberated because it speaks to questions folks have about this multi-million dollar youth sports industry that we've got in America today.
See, the thing that gets me is this story has been out there, and I have a couple of friends that some of them went to Hayfield, and they've been talking about information that, you know, I don't think anybody has to look hard to find. What kills me is that they say they had these so-called investigations, but they didn't find the stuff that popped out yesterday.
Yeah.
So the investigations are, I think, a big hoax and a bunch of lies. So the superintendent should be next.
I love how you hold your opinions close to the vest. I love that. I love that straight talk. And that's what I've loved, you guys, about reporting this story. I love the fact that the coaches, players, families, they are just no BS about all of this. And you put your finger on it, because what has happened is in June we got reports that we could then write for the Fairfax County Times. And it's this young reporter, Shervon, who has been covering high school sports for years, since he's a graduate of Fairfax County Public Schools. And he got the tip from a mom who had her son lose his spot on the Hayfield team. And she was just like, what's going on with all these new people in the locker room? And she's raising questions, and there's retaliation. Well, Shervon, you know, came with the story, and I just wanted to mentor a young journalist a little bit. And now, 6 months later, here I am on your show.
You got a story.
Wow, how do things happen? But you're absolutely right, because in those 6 months, the superintendent, a woman named Michelle Reed, literally stood in front of the parents and many of the team players and family members in Hayfield Secondary School. I was there at the town hall meeting, and she said that she supported the principal Darren Thompson and the football coach Daryl Overton. And you know, lo and behold, then in less than a few months, we see these text messages that nobody asked about, nobody investigated, and we got it because Shravan just had really great sources in the community.
That's, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to go. We're talking with Azra Nomani here. You can follow her at Azra Nomani, Asranomani. All right, so the athletic director's legitimately moved to France or something, right? Like, he's left the country.
Well, he couldn't even have a job anymore.
Germany, possibly.
That's
possibly
crazy.
Germany. I don't know if he's left yet, but he put in, that's the headline, he put in for a 2-year leave of absence before the text messages came out. And, you know, and even then, when the text, before we reported it publicly, they were just going to give him the leave without telling the public anything about what had been written about in those text messages.
That's
but
just...
So the principal, he had to have known something. I don't think this was just one guy knowing this. How is he,
right.
So he pulls them out of the playoffs. Well, a little bit too late for that, brother. I think the whole plan, nobody should be able to get through this.
Yeah, and so there's this, so the state regulatory agency, if you could call it that, but the state authorities that every school district has signed into from the public school system is called Virginia High School League.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in the money, JP, you'd be really proud. I did exactly what I taught, and I got the court records. And sure enough, in the court records, we didn't even talk about that, but the players and, well, VHSL first, you know, in October, they issued a decision that there was a recruiting violations after Fairfax County had cleared the school, and they put a 2-year playoff ban on Hayfield. Well, I've just learned exclusively breaking here on your show that Michelle Reed had the opportunity to negotiate, and she did negotiate a 1-year ban. But then she took it to her counsel, John Foster, a lawyer here, paid, you know, they're all paid huge salaries. And he said, no, we can win this in court. So we can win this on appeal. Well, they lost, and somehow it gets even murkier. The outside counsel for the school district is representing the players and their families in court, pro bono, he says.
Uh-huh.
So he won, yeah, he won a judge's decision allowing Hayfield to play in the playoffs. But, you know, this is just like this mess that could have been avoided many times over, to your point. Like, that's mm-hmm. exactly the case. And the principal, he was very much a part of the decision-making to bring the coach to Hayfield.
It's just crazy to me that ultimately, it's just to follow the money or the power or the prestige of winning a state high school title, I guess. But you've got the coach, who's obviously complicit in everything, mm-hmm. the AD, the principal, maybe it goes all the way up to the administrators. Even if it doesn't go that high, they clearly made mistake after mistake after mistake. I want these kids to get the best opportunity to get college scholarships. Like, if that's the plan, I support that fully. But the audacity of using a federal homelessness law, is that lost on these people? Just what the hell are you doing to go after a high school state football title? I don't know the specific distance in some of these homes in Woodbridge to some of these homes in Fairfax County, but you're talking 25 miles and stuff, right? Like, what are you doing to these children? What are you teaching these children?
Yeah, that's exactly what I always, you know, go back to. Look, I'm a mom. I became a boy mom, and you saw my little son running around the campus.
I remember we went to that campus. Football game.
Right. Oh my gosh. Right. Exactly. And oh my gosh. And you know, he's grown up to be, he's 22 now. I was the football team mom. I was doing, like, what do you guys call it? The chain gang, you know?
That's awesome. Wow.
teaching 7-year-olds how to put their uniform on. I did it all, ran around the Beltway. He ended up playing fencing as his sport because I was afraid of the concussion thing. And I ran around the Beltway. You know, I did it. I picked him up in high school. I was like 3 hours. My hips were going out. You know, I was so happy for COVID to come because, oh, wow, I get to not drive 5 hours around the Beltway.
Right.
I get the chase. Like, I get it. But something has happened to youth sports that is so corrupt.
Adults.
And we know it's because of the
business.
Big money.
It's adults. That's
big
what they
business.
Have to do. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the issue here in all of this is that it's not just these boys who are not going to be playing the playoffs, because the headline, of course, is that yesterday after these text messages were revealed, Hayfield pulled out of the playoffs. And of course, just like you guys are saying, there's, you know, questions about whether there was a cover-up, because what happened is that the principal and the superintendent knew for 6 days about these text messages and did nothing. And Edison High School was slaughtered in the first round of their playoffs here. 75-7.
Wow.
Yeah.
75-0 at halftime.
Damn, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, my gosh. I know, JP. You don't know high school football score for every playoff game that they're in?
Wow.
You're
75-7.
This team is loaded.
And, but on top of this thing, there were some younger kids that came over to that school as well.
Yeah.
So yes.
It's a secondary school. They got some 6th, 7th graders or whatever, 8th graders, whatever it is, that came over. So it's like 35 kids total.
Bro, I understand if it's a 17, 18-year-old kid. A 6th grader, you're talking about, what, 11, 12 years old? What are we doing?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm like now also understand this whole, Twitter, X kind of social media campaign that kid athletes are doing now with colleges. I've seen eighth graders, quote, commit to, colleges, even though they're not allowed to do it, right? I've seen the dance. Like, there's such a social media dance with colleges.
And we're worried that these kids get some money. How much money are the adults getting?
Yeah.
That's the thing, and that's a part in the text messages that really got people's attention too, because the athletic director said he likes to win and he likes money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose we all do, but you got to find at least quasi legitimate means to get it.
I don't see how anybody make it through this little ordeal.
Nah, I don't either. Yep. I told you, Azra's on the case. Nobody's going to make it. The truth is coming out.
Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how many people call me after you said last week, oh, okay, if Oscar is on the case, we're going to get the truth.
They're cooked.
I love your confidence.
Thank you for making time. It's so
appreciate
great to hear your voice.
Oh, my gosh. Always. And, you know, my last message to everyone is, you know, fair sports and fair life, right? Like, that's what life is about. Like, just be the best that we can and do it correctly. So thank you guys so much. Thanks for being the voice of common sense out there.
Thank you. Seriously, appreciate it.
All right, take care. Okay,
right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That's Azra Nomani. Listen, she's coming, so tell the truth. That's all I can tell you. She's going to get it out one way or another. It's very hard to go from that to what's next, but Barstool Nate joins us at 11.
I will have the right to it. This is Gary Newman.
Is it Gary Newman? That's very specific.
It is, yeah.
Oh, shout out to Jeff.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gary Newman. I never would have gotten that.
I told you.
I went to high school with a guy named Peter Newman. Good guy. I think he lives in London now. Jeff, did you see... I have no idea what is real on Instagram anymore, because it could just be like one account goes viral. But some dude claimed Mobb Deep Shook Ones as the greatest track of all time. Like, not necessarily the rhymes, but like the actual track. What's your opinion on it? It's pretty hard.
It's hard, but like, it's a lot of music out there, JP, to call one song the greatest track of all time.
Yo, man. Some entity on Instagram proclaimed that. That's all I can tell you. I have no idea their level of expertise, but I saw it everywhere. Did you see that be on Instagram? You live on Instagram.
Oh, what?
That somebody proclaimed Mobb Deep Shook Ones to be the hardest track of all time.
Nah.
Not the song, but like the actual beat.
Nah, I didn't see that.
Okay, well, it exists.
I'm not on Instagram as much as you think.
Just during the show?
Yeah. I got to keep myself, keep my brain totally occupied.
One little inside stuff for people. People wonder what the media is always talking about. There's a lot of talk about the media. One thing the media is always talking about is hotel points. And most people are Marriott people. Mike, shout out to Mike Phillips. He's a Hilton guy. But I swear, in any press box anywhere in the country, there will at least be 30% of the conversation dictated by hotel points, specifically Marriott points. I just got two offers, B. I'm telling you to do this too. You can now sync your Uber to Marriott points.
Yeah, I already did that.
And BetMGM, which I use.
I did that already too.
All right. You're ahead of the game. Tonight I got an alt cast. Have I told you who's on this yet?
No. You don't talk to me.
How do you know? Who's on it then, Landfill?
Is it Steve Buckhantz?
It is Steve Buckhantz.
And Phil?
Buck and Phil tonight. I believe this is the first time they're going to be together. I've done altcast with Phil Chenier, and I've done altcast with Steve Buckhantz, but I think tonight's the first time the gang's back together. I will be the weird third wheel interloper, just kind of bringing us in and out of commercial. But it's going to be awesome.
Really?
Dude, to get to watch a hoops game with Buck and Phil is kind of my youth. I'm fired up about that. What is going on the phones right now? I almost want to take a photo of this and tweet it out, but I don't want to dox the phone number. Someone named Dairy Queen Bra is calling in, but they're calling on three lines consecutively.
It could be Dairy Queen.
Or her bra. I don't know. It's very odd. But, dude, not only is it Buck and Phil tonight, which is so cool, Gary Williams coming on.
Oh, gee.
Studio, I believe.
All right.
Dude, it should be a really
fun
night.
That's going to be an interesting show for you.
I mean, I'm just, at this stage of my career, I think I'm friends with Gary, but I'm still just in awe every time I hang out with him. And so tonight I'm just going to be like the skit of Chris Farley when he got to interview Paul McCartney. That's just going to be me hanging with Buck and Phil and Gary.
Yeah.
There may be another guest, but I don't want to say that unless that's
going to occur. Man, why are you going to tell people I'm coming? No, I'm joking.
You are always welcome.
Oh, no.
I kind of figured that was the answer.
But yeah.
You are certainly welcome anytime. When we come back, Barstool Nate joins the program.